You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.com. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Katie Keene After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. It is the finale. We are so freaking excited to talk to you about this amazing episode. It's been such an incredible season to have you all here with us since, gosh, what, January? Pre-Miss Rona.
Yeah.
It's been such a ride, and we're so excited to talk about it. Obviously, you can see her. I'm going to introduce her with a big old introduction in a few seconds. But with me, I have my amazing panel, Eric Devante and Sanam Moore. Hello. So excited to have my two favorite people with me.
Hi. I cannot wait.
Yes, of course. And you can see her. She's beautiful. She's talented. She's amazing. And we're so thrilled to have her for this finale episode of Katie Keene. It is Ashley Murray. Hello, girl. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Amazing. Stoked to have you. Like, can't wait to jump in.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So obviously we got Miss Josie McCoy right in front of us. So let's just start with her. It was such an episode for Josie. So many revelations. Eric, tell me your thoughts on all the things that Josie was going through.
Josie, I gotta stop because you're not in character right now, but like, I'm in it.
It's just me. It's just Ashley. It's just you. Not here. I can speak for her though.
Right, of course. That's what we want. So Ashley, I just have to say, like, I love how you brought Josie to life. Like, she's so firm in who she is. She doesn't, her integrity is up to par. She's not taking no mess from the kids. She's going to work for the goal. Like, this episode, you were not to play with. Okay, when you stepped to Xandra after you heard your track on the radio with a different vocal, I lit. I have so much respect for what you did with that character throughout this season.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, that scene, you know, I was about to say Xandra and I, Camille and I, we actually, you know, had a moment to talk about it. I think it was after the table read, and we really wanted to bring, you know, some heat to it. And it's, you see them going head to head the entire season. And, you know, this was like, that was like it. It's the last straw. Like, I need to tell you about yourself now. And it's so funny to watch it play out. And it's like, I remember when I read the script, I was like, I don't think she should care about what she's saying about Alex. She's here about the music.
The boy.
Yes. Thank you.
But you know, it's like there's still this whole story to tell. And that's when I have to remind myself that I am not this person. Like, I am playing a character. And simply because I'm in my right mind does not mean she is. So I need to find a way to ground this.
Right.
So, you know, and at least in that grounding, the viewers still have that same reaction, like, boo, deal with that later. What about
Thank you. Yes.
That is so funny. It's funny you mentioned Xandra and Camille. Camille is a friend of our show. We've had her on, and she's so fun.
That's
and
so great.
She shared such great insight about the relationship you guys have, you know, of working with, yeah. There's a dynamic between Xandra and Josie, and it's so great to see. So now tell me some of your favorite moments from Josie this episode.
Oh my God. Now you guys know I'm a OG Josie fan. Hey. So y'all know I was riding with her from day one. Okay.
Right.
I wasn't a fan of the park too much, you know, when she slid the attic, you know, but you know, because he is real good. Cute, so I'm going to let it good. Pass.
Right.
He did look good.
That's why so, you know, I'm not even mad at it. I'm not even mad at it. But I literally was living for it because Josie finally, you know, she gave the business for the past two episodes.
Yeah.
She's been really giving it. And I loved when you called Pepper out. We'll get to that later. And even when it came to just letting her know, even when she tried to compromise with you about your song, talking about we could do it together. No, boo, we're not doing it together. It's mine. Right. And right. I loved how you persevered after it and was like, you know what? I'm starting from scratch and I'm going to do it again.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Because I'm just a star like that. So I really loved it. I loved it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Even in that moment, in that scene, I really hope we get a second season because I love the dynamic between Josie and Xandra. And even though they're kind of like frenemies, let's say, you know, some people like to throw that in. Like, I wouldn't go so far as to say the you know, I think it's just
right. Yeah.
You know, people, they want to see them come together and be friends. And there's something about, I just love watching Camille work because the way that she even describes Xandra, you know, how multi-layered she is. And underneath it all, there's so much insecurity and sadness and this need to prove herself and where she instills her self-worth in those around her and why she lashes out. You know, that's a lot of work to be done. And that's not going to happen overnight. And I feel like her world colliding with Josie's is really going to illuminate all of that work that needs to be done. And she might be fighting against it while also wanting to be friends with this girl, but wanting to kind of be her, you know, have that strength that Josie has. So I really hope that we get the chance to really play on that dynamic because in that scene where Josie's telling her like, no, I can't do this. It's so hard. Like, it's hard to be mean to Camille. Like, it just is. And even, like, I know that we're different people in the scene, but it's just so, when she just comes so, like, soft and, like, this worn little beaten puppy, I'm like, oh, girl, we can do a song.
Oh. Right,
like, right.
You know, she's such a wonderful artist, and she's, you know, really generous. As we actors like to say. And, you know, when we go head to head, it's so tangible. It's like I can feel that energy going back and forth between us. So I'm really happy that, you know, that scene played strong because actually I was even stronger. I was way more like, no, goodbye, hit the door. I don't have any time for you.
No.
And our director Maggie was like, so. Maybe let's just soften it up a bit, you know, kind of maybe give her a little bit of hope. And I was like, no, right. You know, she's like, just give her a little bit, just a little bit. So I did what I could.
Yeah. I have to throw this out there and it's the exact opposite of what you guys are saying, but I have two things on Josie. So
while I love the morals and sticking by your ground, girl, like, she had all the opportunities to get that record deal and the record contract, but she's like, you know, sorry, my morals. And I'm like, honey, like, deal with the morals later. Sign the contract.
He's
and
been
then
saying
deal
this
the morals.
All season.
And on the topic of Xandra, like, I'm also probably the only Xandra fan on the panel, because especially in these last couple episodes, seeing, like you said, Ashley, with the layers of Xandra that throughout the first few episodes, she was just giving all this BITCH drama, and you didn't want none of it. But when you see the layers, like, she's going through so much with her dad, with Alex, trying to fix everybody else and then trying to put herself back together. It's like, girl, I feel you. So I'm like, I feel her on that. But going back, I love Josie for standing by her morals, but maybe just sign the contract and then get your morals after. Like, you can do both, girl.
Listen, Josie coming from a place like Riverdale, like, there are no chances to be taken. Morals right. need to be the first choice always.
Right.
Come on, Hiram Lodge.
Why is he so scary? Like, I didn't get to see the scene when they shot it, but when it popped up, I was like, he is so unsettling.
Yeah.
I did not like that in real life. Like, he's so funny. Like, he can be, you know, he can be very calm and commanding in his presence. Yeah. But, you know, to see him, like, go into this place, like, oh my God. It's so good at it.
Yes, like you said, I'm hoping we're getting that second season, because that was such a throw in a loop for me. For those of you who don't watch Riverdale, that's Hiram Lodge, that's Veronica Lodge's daughter, who showed up in the end of the episode, and it was such a loop. I was like, oh girl, Veronica's BFF, like that. Veronica and Katie are apparently friends in this universe, so it's Hiram to come in and throw that loop and just shake things up. I can't wait to see if we get that second season for it to be dived into. But while we're on the topic, let's just dive more into Katie. So Katie had also such a whirlwind this episode. She had so much happening for her. God, I'm also the biggest KO fan on the panel. So I was like holding my breath in when she, what is it called again? Is it Penn, that's not Penn Station. That's Grand Central Terminal. So when she was in Grand Central Terminal, right? Am I right? Or am I wrong? It's two New Yorkers.
You got it.
I'm like, I just want to make sure I don't miss. Oh, I've only been to New York twice. But
I was like,
when she was there, I was like, come on, girl, just say that you love him. Eric, tell me your thoughts on Katie.
You know, I really have to respect Katie, because I feel like at first she was real Powerpuff Girl, but now we see that she can stand on her. Don't give me that face. Don't give me that. I said what I said. I felt like this episode, at first I was like, come on, you got to see through Guy. And I didn't think Guy was a bad guy. But
no pun intended, huh?
No pun intended. But it was kind of, it was old. It was getting old. Like, the attitude problems when your designs wasn't hitting, then you steal it from your apprentices. It's like, all right, I'm not liking this trend. And we, you know, we got together a few times. There's nothing to hold on to. So the fact that she called him back and then turned it down, like, I had to get with Katie this episode. I felt like she was so grounded. And then on top of it, as much as I love Pepper, the fact that she wasn't willing to be, oh, Pepper, just come back, let's try it again. Katie drew boundaries. And I'm like, this is a new girl. Because in the beginning, she was like, she was a walking mat. Like, it was fashion week on Katie Keene's back. Everyone was walking over her. And then, now, good it's night. So good to see that she's a grown woman. She's a grown woman.
Yes. Come on, Tanat, tell me your sentiments. Do you share Eric's sentiments? Do you disagree? What do you think?
Half and half. You already know I'm not a Peppa fan, okay? She's too much. But just starting off with Katie, I love the fact that she let KO go, in terms of, like, she let him pursue his dreams and not try to, like, keep him back. Because a lot of times, you know, we are selfish, especially when it comes to love. And we really are like, well, not like try to guilt people or just try to, like, think of it, what about me? But in this, when you really love someone, like love someone, you allow them to grow, because what's ever meant to be and what's ever supposed to be for you will be for you. You know what I'm saying? And I think it was just, I think they will end up together back at some point, but they also need time to breathe from each other. Cause I feel like they've been together for so long. It's just a lot. They need time to grow. And I think they're all growing and stuff. So I really like that. And I love how she told Guy what it was. Like, look, I'm going to take the chance on myself and I'm going to do what is my passion and to live through my dreams, because he really tried it. You stole this girl's stuff and then you want to blame it on the history of fashion, boo. No. Do not make me call Miss Tyra or Miss J for that.
Oh. Okay. Right. And I went to what
they had to say. Okay.
Come on.
And then, you know, I'm gonna have to get on Josie real quick, because
get on her.
Okay, because first of all, she know it is a dang on lie. Talking about some, we should be single all for a year. I'm like, girl.
Yeah, girl.
I'm not even going to lie to you, sis. If we you said that, I would have said, you know what? I could do a quarter period. Let's do quarter. Right. No, the first 3 months, I'm with you.
Wait, no, you can't tell me that there wasn't a period of time where you and your girls was like, man, ooh, excuse me. I'm not doing this no more. I'm good. Like, I'm not seeing nobody for a year. And then, like, 3 weeks later, you're wondering why he can't give you that label. You know what I mean? Like, why can't you commit?
WYD at 214. Like, come on.
You know, honestly, right now, I think, you know, maybe we was friends in a past life, because you're really reading my life right now. But, like, dang.
Oh, my God.
We've made that mistake.
Look. And it just take that one. And then, you know, he walks by and you tell your friends, like, oh, my God, he's nice.
Right.
And then you're like,
it's always like that, though.
Right.
Oh, and he was going to call me.
Right.
Ashley, like, you lit. What is your sign?
I'm a Capricorn.
Yes, oh. Ashley, let's go. January or December?
January, baby.
Oh my goodness. Well, maybe I need some more Capricorn in my life, because Eric and I just became, he's
we
my
will
first
keep you right, girl.
Always.
I'm a Cancer, so you already know us Cancers, we love to fall in love. We be like, he's different.
Yes.
Girl, he be the same.
Clown,
different nose, different wig.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, but at the end of the day, I do love Katie and I love Lucy. I've been a fan of her for quite some time from Pretty Little Liars. But I really just love how she's grown and she's become that person. Now, she did yell out, you know, the awkward scene of like, oh, you my daddy. And I'm like,
yeah, that was weird.
What was weird about it?
I think he's her dad. I've been saying that.
But as a person with daddy issues himself, I would never meet a man on site and be like, hey, I think you're my dad. Do you know how crazy I would look? I'm 26. I would look crazy if every older man that has the same initials as something on my threading machine, I said, I think you're my dad.
Stop
what
it,
kind of toxic... Sir. That's not toxic.
Oh, listen, my God.
That my mom looking crazy.
I need your thoughts, Ashley. Tell me.
This is a realm of suspended belief. The chills will be had when they are necessary. And I caught them when she was like, I think you might be my dad. And he was like, he probably caught what you got. He was like,
oh. Right. Where was that April 12, 1988?
And I think in today's age, he'd probably also be like, did you mean daddy? Like, he probably would even more thrown for more of a loop with that, you know? So
that would have been a lot.
That would have been a lot.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, Katie went through a lot this episode. So we gotta move on. We also have to talk about someone else who went through so much, which is Jorge. Jorge went.
You know, I'm glad you brought him up, because I'm checking your whole crop top, Jorge.
It's the same chain link, the crop top. The I'm going to just show my abs. There it is. Yes. We were planning this thing, actually, where we were going to dress up as everyone from the cast, but it didn't work out. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to pay some homage to
you. You should have reminded everybody.
I totally should have. But
I'm like, don't you throw me under the bus.
Right. Okay, because look, he knows I will bring the pink fur. I will bring the whole Katie, okay?
Come on, pink heart.
I got a Josie outfit and I got a Katie outfit.
Right, which you want? Flavors.
We only have one person that'll be Pepper on here, and that's Eric DeMonte, because
I know. Yeah, I'll make it work.
He can have all that season.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's talk about Jorge. So, Nah, tell me your thoughts of all the things that happened to Jorge this episode.
Oh my goodness. Jorge really was stepping it up. And I love how he got those signatures. He said, oh, baby, please, you're not going to punk me out of my neighborhood, okay? I've never been to a Washington Heights, but if it's affordable, you need to make sure the building stays, okay? Because, look, I already know LA is expensive, so even thinking about New York, I can't even, I have no business even saying New York because I can't even afford it. Yeah. So it's just like, I love the fact that he really was like, I'm going to make sure I get this and I do this. I loved that. Mm-hmm. And his wig, baby, it was leg. You know, I saw it really looks like it was coming from the
scalp. Coming out the scalp.
So I'm here for it.
I'm screaming. Well, Eric, I have to ask you your thoughts on come and do that conga with me. Like, let me know what you thought.
It was really good. I live for a park performance. It took me home because New York is always showtime somewhere, whether it's the train or Grand.
It's always showtime.
It was a vibe. But what I love most is the evolution of the relationship between Jorge and his dad. Like his dad being there.
Yes,
celebrating Ginger in her element. Because I feel like a big theme between the two of them is this masculinity and pride. So it's like, I'm already losing the building, and then you're going to try and save my building in drag after I told you that I don't like that on a public platform. Like, all of it, I feel like the writers did a good job of taking everything that was an issue and bringing it full circle for this one moment. So, the park moment was great. And I love that you invited Xandra to it. I love that you could, when you said Xandra's a hurt dog, I felt that, because when she, when you was like, there's a party and I want you to come to it, she immediately smiled. And I'm like, you're not a little apprehensive that she's not trying to jump you in the park?
Yeah.
Like,
Well, cause see, here's the thing. I'm going to let you in. There actually was an additional line that was cut, because right after I say, you know, would you join us? Because we have this thing, we're trying to save our building. And I think the line was something like, you know, with your social media following, it could really help us get these signatures. You know, which was kind of
it
like,
was still a transactional relationship at that
point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, because I was of that mindset, but on the other end, I was like, do I really like am I inviting her because I need somewhere to stay, or am I inviting her because I need somewhere to stay? And also I'm trying to be like just a good person. I'm trying to turn away from that moral compass. That line wasn't there, but I'm glad. It's so funny to hear people's thoughts when they see it, since we know everything that was there and is no longer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of things no longer, I also want to mention that while I'm the biggest Bernardo stan here also, I think I'm just a stan of everybody because I love this show. Yeah. But I love Bernardo, and I was really happy that they didn't get back together, that Jorge still continued on his own, because we talked about this before about how he needs to have his time on his own to figure his life out, to figure himself out, and not be in a relationship, because he jumped from Buzz straight into Bernardo, and then things just got hot and heavy in all the wrong ways.
Yeah.
So I think it's perfect for him to have this time on his own and to really like rebuild things. And, you know, maybe that year of not being on Grindr, he'll probably have a good old time on his own. So we'll see how that goes. Ashley, what are your thoughts on Jorge and his whole development, how he's just grown so much?
I love, love, love Jorge. And Johnny is just like, he is just this fountain of ideas and character. He is on all the time. Julia actually calls him, did she call him the tailor? Because he always puts a button on it, like at the end of every scene.
I love that.
He's always at throwing some spice in there, throwing some line, some little quip. I hope when we get our like bloopers reel, he's going to be riddled in it, because he's just hilarious. But watching his evolution is just so, it just gets me in my heart, because even just his the banter back and forth between he and his father, and then his relationship with Bernardo, you know, watching him spiral because of his own insecurities and try to land himself back in reality, but through getting drunk actually makes it so much worse. Mm-hmm. And watching him really live out, like, we've been there. We've been like, I'm just going to make myself feel better and feel good by drinking a little more, thinking it's going to give me the strength, when actually it just takes off all the layers and all that vulnerability and insecurity is just right in your face. Mm-hmm. And him having that, you know, come to moment in Molly's crisis when Bernardo was like, I really want to get back. And he was like, I can't do it. I remembered everything he went through, the threesome when he woke up and like his plus two was cuddling in the bed and over on the corner, like he was staying the night, like it wasn't his night. You know, Jorge is, he's just this lovely, bright light, and he's so much of like the friends I grew up with. You know, he just, there's something so familial about him. And everything about Johnny just kind of brings out the best in you when you're on set. He's just, his entire evolution is so great. Like, I feel like, you know, Jorge is still very much so himself. His the things that he wants to work on are so personal, and he doesn't fully share with everyone. Like, his relationship with his father, that's not something we all see. That's something really only he and his family sees and we don't hear about. But even through that work that he's doing, it hasn't really changed too much of who he is, because who he is already so great. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, you can still work on yourself and while being a good person, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
That's what I feel like about Jorge Lopez.
Yes, I love that. Well, we've only had one person left to talk about it, and she has definitely had an evolution, upside down around the corner, like it was some kind of roller coaster. I don't know what she was on, but it's Pepper. And
it's Pepper Smith.
I'm gonna start with, of course, Eric Devontae Russell, the biggest Pepper Smith fan. Tell me your thoughts on just how everything happened for Pepper.
Nobody's telling me that my girl don't get it done. Nobody's telling me my girl don't get it done. Okay, like, I understand that she ran some scams the whole season.
Some are the whole.
I like to treat her like her name and sprinkle it lightly. Some it is. Some it is. But like, the fact that Josie coming to her asking her to be a manager speaks volumes. Like, you've gone from the Cabots, which is an established record label and family, to Pepper, and you were working through your distrust of Pepper for the last few episodes, but you know that her work ethic is so solid. And she's a work in progress. And I think that Pepper, we can see a little bit of ourselves in Pepper, where it's like, we want to bring our best self forward at all times. Listen, however, we have a lot to work through.
Take money from people. I don't have a heart, but.
Right. I don't want to scam nobody. But like, that feeling of, I need to be this person in order to make it to this point in life, like, that's so relatable. And we watch her peel back the layers. We watch her, you know, introduce her father and get exposed. We saw her at her lowest point, and now she's building back up. Like, this was a great episode for Pepper. I'm so glad we know who she is. Like, it was really solid.
Yes. Ashley, tell me your thoughts on Pepper, especially for this episode.
Pepper, you know, it's funny because when we started the table reads in the very beginning of the season, when we were actually like on set, kind of running through some of the scenes, I felt like I just started looking at her crazy whenever she would say something absolutely bizarre and out of like, and everybody else in the room would be like, yeah, uh-huh. And I'm like, you didn't hear what she just And we sort of had this little aside to each other and agreed that, oh, Josie's the one who picks up on the funk, because Riverdale, like, I can smell the rat from a mile away. But I'm the new one in the group. I'm not trying to stir the pot. I'm already sleeping on the couch. Like, I'm just going to stay quiet.
You just bring the donuts. Poor girl, bring donuts and still sleep on the couch. Come on. They're doing her dirty.
Pepper, I love how she, you know, has this whole facade that she plays so well, as if that's the real her. You know, she has told so many lies that I wonder how many of them she actually believes. And the wondrous thing about this character is that there's so much we don't know about her it kind of leaves you in the space where you want to trust that she's a good person. You see the bits of her that are genuine, and yet how do you know for sure? You know, just please stay, like, keep it on the straight and narrow. And the thing is, even though she's decided to go straight, you know, who's to say that there aren't any more Hannah Melvies who are going to pop up and continue to throw in the machine that may continue to test the trust that we are trying to have in her. But, you know, there's something so wonderful. I know Sanaa don't really. There's something so wonderful about Pepper, these little flickering moments of humanity that kind of tug you back in. That I really love how Julia plays that. She, for a character that is living in so much denial and all of these untruths, she's very truthful in that portrayal. You know what I mean?
For sure.
That was good.
I saw some faces. Let me know your thoughts, girl.
Because look, this is why I mess with Josie, because she will call Peppa out, okay, and come with receipts. She's not coming with things that can stay on the playground. She's coming with receipts. And so for me, it's just like, with Peppa, see, my thing is, I know about the scamming. I mean, I don't do it myself because I'm too scared to get caught. But I know about the scamming and everything. And I just feel like, number one, you should not scam your grandma and your friends and your, you know, like your family. It's just certain people you just don't scam. And it's just the fact that I see how hard you guys work. And, you know, being in LA or New York, when you're following your dreams, you know, you take pay cuts and things, you're hustling, you're working different jobs and you're dead tired, but you still do, you know, what you have to do in order to make your dreams come true. And to know somebody is stealing from you and lying from you, I guess that's what really just hurts me, because it's just, I work so hard. I'm flipping donuts and glazing them. And you want to steal from me, baby? And then on top of that, it's like, when you steal it, you don't even give me a cut, okay? Like, you don't even say, you know, like, it's not even like you steal it and you're just like, you know, girl, I see you work hard. Here's a Birkin. Or, you know, maybe I'm going too much. Maybe I'm going too much.
Okay? She stole the clutch.
20 grand.
If it's a Canal Street Birkin, maybe. If it's a Canal Street Birkin, okay. Because that's like $20.
I mean, like, living. You know, like, that's the only thing. But I will say with Pepper, her trust, like Katie said, it has to be, it's not an overnight thing. Like, oh, okay, you apologize. And then you all of a sudden, and Ashley, please let us, please put, you know, put it to rest. Do you think in the last episode, Pepper just did the Pepper plant, like, including her friends, if that was just like an I'm sorry thing? I don't personally think it was initially meant for everybody. I think it kind of was like at the end, she realized, okay, you know, everybody catching on to me. Let me just really do this for everyone. I don't really think it was.
I think she did. I don't say that because I'm on the show. I say that in all honesty, you know, because Pepper was already making the turn of trying to create this thing, even from the jump, even though she was getting the money in sideways, like in a completely illegal manner, she really did want to create something that was real for her friends, you know, even though it was sort of funded under false pretenses, the meaning was genuine. So when things really started to crumble with her, like you said, it's like you shouldn't steal from your family and your friends. And she backed off the con from her family. And she was never really trying to con. She did mess over Jorge, but, you know, it was all in the grand scheme of something better, you know, giving him and every one of us a place where we can showcase bigger than, you know, Molly's crisis, just being at a bar where nobody's really going to pay attention to you. Being in an artist working space, people might actually perk up. So as the walls were caving in on that last episode, it was everything she could do to try to make this work and show them that, I know I lied, I know I messed up, I know I was wrong, but it was all for this. So it kind of wasn't I'm sorry, but it was like, I'm sorry, but this is what I've been working on for you this entire time.
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense.
So, you know, it was like, because she got caught is probably why it felt so much like, I'm just going to do this for you now. So I'm not in trouble. But had she not gotten caught, it still would have gone down the way that it went down. Josie would have had her set. Jorge and Ginger would have had their whole setup of showcasing, you know, his and her work. And Katie would have all of her fashion on display. That was always the dream.
Yes, Ashley.
And I do think that Pepper, I do have hope, even though I don't trust her worth a lick. I think she really realized at this point. Sometimes in life, you know, we all make mistakes, but I do love Pepper's character, because I do think she brings forward that you can make mistakes. Now, of course, they won't be corrected overnight, but it's every day that you do try to become the better person that in the grand scheme of things, it'll work out in your favor. Because even when she turned down that last con, you know, she said, no, I'm going to give you the money, and it's clean money. I don't want to deal with it. That's how we know she's a new girl, because old Pepper would have been like, girl, hit me after this. Okay.
Right.
She didn't. And that's what I respect about her. So, you know, she could be my third favorite character.
Maybe
right
we
now,
can bring you
fourth.
On this Pepper train.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
you see, Ashley, that would have been impossible without you, because Lord knows I've tried.
I'm telling you, Ashley's my girl. Season.
All season long. So thank you for being a friend. Golden Girls voice. Thank you.
I'm here to speak the light. I'm here to help you see.
I love that.
Good.
Oh my goodness. Well, you guys, it's been such an amazing time talking about this amazing episode, about this amazing show, the amazing season. I cannot wait for if we get a second season, because I just need to see more of everything. Fingers crossed. It's crazy. Actually, I mentioned this last week because I saw an article that said that it was picked up, but I guess it wasn't.
So what happened was it was a soft pickup. And because there was the impending writer's strike, and, you know, the network was trying to cover all their bases so that they'd at least have things on the books in case there was a strike. But because there wasn't, and we had the pandemic, you know, now it's based on numbers and viewership. So we're hoping that, you know, we'll get a lot of streams when we go online, and you know, we hope that that'll push us into a second season, because the show is worth it. You know, it found its legs and it's really good. And I do truly believe that because there's nothing else like it on the network, I think that's worth it. Exactly. I think it's worth to have something that is a bit more carefree and light, you know, not too heavy, not too deep, but still touches all the right heartstrings and nobody flies. So, you know, it's nice.
Speaking of the pandemic, I just want to ask one question for all the viewers who are watching and who are also creatives and everything. What advice do you give to people in quarantine during this time?
You know, that's tough, because not everybody is in the same situation. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to speak in a manner as if to, you know, have this saving grace for everyone, because I am lucky and privileged enough to not have to worry in a way that many people do. Yeah. And I suppose that the only thing that I can speak from, because I worry about it a lot, it's not something I've really talked about, because I know that there are people who can't afford to have food in their fridge, or can't afford to stay home, you know, can't afford to have people help them with their children, you know, people who are in dangerous situations. There's so much that we don't really see that this pandemic is affecting. But for me personally, the thing that I have been most conscious of is my mental health. And being, you know, like not having children, you know, being a 30 something in New York City, I have lived here for so many years, for over a decade, and I'm used to being out, and it's hard being stuck inside. And I have experienced very severe depression in my life, and I am still coming out of even just a minor depression, just like, I guess it's called moderate depression. And the severe depression I experienced was so intense that I didn't even understand that what I'm dealing with now that I'm calling myself crazy, that, oh, I feel like this way, and why do I not have the passion to do that? Why can't I just be normal? It's because I'm depressed. Like, I'm not getting a lot of exercise. I'm not getting any vitamin D. I'm not, you know, conversing with people. And that's something that I'm trying to stay very aware of and be kind to myself. And I also, I like have a therapist. We have phone sessions. I think it's really important to have that kind of support if you can find it. And even if it's not something that you can get through a therapist, I'm not saying that, you know, family and friends can replace that type of professional help, but any sort of help is help. So definitely. I would just say, you know, be really kind to yourself and understand that you are not the only ones experiencing this anxiety. It's a common side effect of what we're dealing with. So you're not alone. You know, just try to find as much support as you can, even if it's just like having a Zoom call, you know, just taking care of yourself.
Yeah,
that's so actually, good.
That was perfect. Thank you so much. That was the perfect way for us to end things. Ashley, again, it was such an absolute pleasure to have
you here.
This
was so much fun.
So good.
We need to do like some kind of reunion show where we have you and Camille, like, to just talk about like everything.
Yes.
We actually do that kind of thing here on AfterBuzz, so we will definitely be reaching out to you again, and we would love to have a reunion show to break down the whole season. So I will be in contact with your PR and be in contact with you because it's been amazing. But if fans want to reach out to you, Ashley, where can they find you on social media?
I am on Instagram. My handle is I am A Murray, and it's the same thing on Twitter. Like, I'm trying to be, I'm trying to reconnect with the world. I'm working on it.
Yes. We want to connect with you, so we hope to hear from you. So now real quick, where can they find you on social media?
Yes, you guys can follow me on Instagram at @I_am_Sana. That's S-A-N-A underscore. And on Twitter at @I_am_Sana.
Amazing. Eric, how about you?
Catch me on Instagram at The World According to Eric, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at Eric Devante.
Yes, and I'm Brian Santos. You can find me everywhere at The Brian Santos. Again, this has been the Katie Keene After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. It's been such a pleasure to have Ashley Murray with us. Thank you so much. Talk about all things Josie, and I am serious. We're going to keep you in touch for that reunion show. We want to talk about this entire season, so everyone be looking out for that. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will see you hopefully in the second season. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Good.
It is.